Jim here.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, how are you going?
Doing very well, thanks. Teaching climatology this semester and using...
Okay, wait. We're on the air now.
Okay.
You're listening to... good morning, good afternoon. Depends upon where you are. And welcome to Truth Quest with Melody on Oracle Broadcasting. I have another great lineup of guests scheduled for today's program. I've got Dr. Tim Ball as our special guest and my co-host who has often worked with me on my radio program, Truth Quest on KHEN in Salida on Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Mountain Time Zone. And it's also streamed on the internet on those nights, and our interviews are available at www.givemesometruth.info. And while I'm at it, I'd like to also mention that Oracle Broadcasting has a donate button on their website, oraclebroadcasting.com, and I would like you to support our sponsors so Oracle can continue to bring the fine programming the staff has on board, and all programs are archived and available on their website to listen to and download for later. And our call-in number is 866-841-1065. And it was another fine program earlier on Red Ice. And Solution Revolution with Nemo DeNovo follows this program. And I want to mention a little bit about my guest. Dr. Ball is back, and he's a renowned environmental consultant and formerly a climatology professor at the University of Winnipeg. And he has extensive background in other fields as an advisor to the International Climate Science Coalition, Friends of Science, and the Frontier Center for Public Policy. And he can be reached at letters@canadafreepress.com. And then my co-host, Dr. Eric Carlstrom is a professor of geography at California State University at Stanislaus, with nearly 30 years of teaching experience. And his academic research has focused on using ancient soils, paleosols, and landforms as a means of reconstructing climates and environmental conditions of the past. So, and he has some websites that you can review his work at www.naturalclimatechange.us and Water Watch Alliance. You can type into Google. Now, I want to say hi to you, and we have about a minute left before we'll go to our break, and then we'll have longer periods for our discussion here. But hi, Eric, and hi, Dr. Ball.
Yeah, good morning, Melody.
Good morning. Did you want to add anything to what I've just said here, Eric?
Well, only that you and I, Melody, have had a chance to interview Dr. Ball several times. And as you say, those interviews are archived not only on your archive website, givemesometruth.info/archives, but also on my site, www.naturalclimatechange.us. And I find that these interviews are particularly useful and informative because Dr. Ball is one of those rare individuals who really understands the science behind so-called global warming and also understands the politics. So we have the ability to go back and forth between those issues.
We're coming up for break here, so.
And a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who said the
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long-distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
And you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody. And my guest and co-host this afternoon, my co-host is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and our guest is Dr. Tim Ball. And he's back to kind of carry on where we left off a little bit last time on the climate change, and also there'll be we'll also get into some water issues there down the road too. So, but Dr. Carlstrom, go ahead.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's a great pleasure to be able to talk to Dr. Tim Ball again. He's a retired climatology professor, first climatology PhD in Canada, studied under Dr. Hubert Lam in England, who wrote the book on climate and human history. So he's extremely well versed in the issues. I was hoping, Tim, we could start with your assessment. I'm reading lots of articles these days that maybe the climate gate is starting to sink the man-caused global warming ship a little bit. As I understand it, even the Chicago Climate Exchange was closed in October, and of course they didn't get the bill passed through the Senate of the Climate Security Act again this year, and the Copenhagen conference last December was kind of a bust. Would you say that the man-caused global warming train has been deflected or slowed down at all?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And certainly with the, I give many public lectures, and I gave one just a couple of days ago, but 150 professional people, and the mood in the room was very, very different than when I started talking publicly about it. people have realized that they were being scammed on this issue, and they still don't fully understand the details of it, or even the big question is becoming now the motive. But amongst the public generally, yes, the climate gate has had a huge impact. The other thing, Eric, that's been a factor is, as you know, with climate gate's named after Watergate, and the issue with Watergate was, yes, the original act, but then the bigger problem was the cover-up. And as is always the case with these issues, the cover-up really does you in. And the whitewash investigations by the British government and by the UK Met Office and University of East Anglia and even Penn State have simply raised a lot of eyebrows about what's going on. And so I think the combination of those things has certainly changed the mood. And now, what we'll also see is that they'll shift the goalposts. We already have seen another shift in the naming of it. We went from global warming to climate change, as you and I have discussed on several occasions. Now, the latest one with John Holdren, the science czar out of the Obama White House, is calling it climate disruptions. And, of course, this again, with a human implication that the disruptions are human caused. But it's another move of the goalposts. And then redirecting the focus to other scares. Biodiversity has come back onto the table again. The water issue is a big one, which we'll talk about later. And acidification of the oceans. And so they're shifting the targets. And but yeah, the climate gate thing has had a tremendous impact.
Yeah, one thing that we almost talked about in previous interviews, and I really heartily recommend people who are interested in this subject and who want a good understanding of what's going on to maybe mine those archives in Melody's website and mine to listen to some of the information that Dr. Ball gave us. But I know you've also been watching these kind of politicization of science issues, including the acid rain issue, I think, which was big in the 70s and 80s, and the so-called depleted ozone hole issue, mainly in the 90s, which resulted in the Montreal Protocol. And I've gotten the sense from talking to you that these were kind of a dry run for the politicization of the man-caused global warming. Could you give us a little bit of the kind of the big picture on those two issues as kind of scaremongering and a way to get political solutions, that is legislation, to address these quote-unquote global problems?
Sure. And let's start by putting them in an even larger context because the idea of the environment became a new paradigm. And, of course, a paradigm is a general overview of how people see the world. And a classic one that everyone can relate to that's still causing some concern about how much of it we adapt and how much of it we change was the feminist movement. It was a paradigm shift. It made people rethink how their basic values were. Well, environmentalism was one of those and an essential one. We needed to look at it. And your area of expertise in paleosols is something that interested me. My honors thesis when I started back in university was looking at philosophical considerations of humans as a geomorphic agent. That is, when you look at soils, the formula for soils is soils equals, and then there's parent material and weather and all those things, as you know. And then the only place that humans might fit is in the O, the organic part. But there they look at tree roots and worms and so on. But there was no consideration of humans affecting and changing the landscape. And, of course, that was really the beginning of where we are now, the whole environmental movement. And what happened with it, Eric, was that it got hijacked. It got hijacked by extremists. Now, this always happens with new paradigms. because the new idea comes onto the scene, most people are not, they think, well, that's an interesting idea, but they're not quite sure how much of it they want to adapt, how willing they are to change. And humans are basically conservative in the sense that they are worried about change. They know it has implications for them. They know it can affect them negatively as well as positively. But as with anything, and you know with your grading, when you mark students' papers, there's a bell curve of those who are in the A's and then those who are in the F's, and in between are the great majority within one or two standard deviations of the norm. Well, what happens with a new paradigm is the people at one end of the spectrum immediately grab onto it and say, oh, we've got to change completely. The majority in the middle are kind of lost. And it helped me dealing with this to understand, and it would help the public to understand, what's the role of extremists in our society. Doc, I mean,
we got about 30 seconds here, so okay.
Okay. Well, the role of the extremist, of course, is I've discovered, is to define the limits for the majority. And that's where we are now with the climate issue, with the environmental issues. So when we come back, we could talk about that in the context of the acid rain and the CFC issues.
Well, and I just wanted to bring up the fact that some of those paradigms that are brought in on the scene aren't always by accident either. I mean, they're planned.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
air.
Okay, well, just to pick up where we left off there, Dr. Ball was saying that, you know, these paradigm shift movements, which are often intentional, tend to get hijacked by extremists on one end of the spectrum who define the limits of the movement for the majority. And I had brought up to Dr. Ball the possibility that in this case, perhaps he and I would be considered the extremists on the other side of the bell-shaped curve, because we're trying to pull the majority back towards a scientific and in fact credible position on these issues.
Yeah, and I think, Eric, that's a very good observation, because as I mentioned, with the bell curve, you have two ends to the curve, and we, in sociological terms, we would be called the laggards. That is, the people that are digging in our heels and saying, hang on a minute, let's not rush to judgment on this. And the extremists, of course, are pushing ahead. And so the role then of the extremists is, and we saw it with the feminist movement, where some of the extreme feminists started doing things, and the majority of women looked at it and said, no, hang on a minute, now we're losing more than we're gaining. And that's starting to happen with the environmental movement. It's particularly interesting because that group of extremists have taken the position that only they care about the environment, only they care about the planet and everything else. And the reality is that, to a greater or lesser extent, all of us are environmentalists. And so this stealing of the moral high ground, of course, is part of the political and religious component of environmentalism. And so we've been working through these issues, and in order to get people's attention, they've had to become more and more extreme. And we've seen this now with the climate issue, that some of the claims have become so outrageous, and some of the proposed solutions. And people are saying, "No, hang on a minute. This is just getting silly." And but prior to using climate climate change, global warming, as an issue, which really grew out of the Club of Rome and the focus on CO2 and the political agenda, there were other issues that the extremists were picking on to say, "No, this is where humans are destroying the planet, and we've got to stop what we're doing." And one of those that you mentioned, the acid rain issue, it came up originally in Europe as the Black Forest, for example. There was an argument of trees going through what is called a dieback. That is a restriction of growth, loss of leaves, and so on. And it was attributed to an increase in acidity of the rainfall. Now, this is another example, Eric, of where the two things that are exploited by extremists, one is fear, the sky is falling, the Chicken Little thing. The other is people's lack of understanding of the natural order and the science and so on. And with the few people know that all rain is acid rain naturally, that as the raindrops form in the atmosphere, they absorb CO2, and therefore the raindrops fall on average with a CO2 level of about 10%. So rain is a 10% carbonic acid solution. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why a rainfall is more effective on plants than when you take it out of the tap, where the CO2 has gone out of the water. And so the idea of acid rain, of course, was another of these false terminologies that have been used in these extremist events. Interestingly enough, acid snow also occurs, because of course when that water droplet that is falling or forming the raindrop freezes, then it freezes as an ice crystal of 10% carbon. And when the snow melts, the concentration of CO2 in that water is actually higher. Now what they did was They went around coal-burning plants and tested the rainfall. There were studies done in West Virginia. They were saying, look, here, the rain is 10 times more acid than normal, and it's like vinegar and so on. And there's no question. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I lived in the city of Sudbury, which had a massive smelter run by the International Nickel Company. And the vegetation downwind, in an area downwind of that smelter, was absolutely denuded by the acid rain. So there's no question that that effect can occur. And, of course, it occurs because if you get in excess of anything, it's going to have an impact. Now, what's interesting is since they've resolved the problem of the sulfur coming out of the stack, a lot of the trees further downwind are starting to die off or reduce in their size because of the sulfur for them was actually a fertilizer. So it was only the concentrations of the material that was the factor. And so the acid rain issue became then a big issue, and Margaret Thatcher got involved, and she, by the way, was also the one that got the greenhouse effect into the political arena because she wanted to show that CO2 was a problem, and she wanted to develop nuclear power, partly because she wanted to defeat the coal miners' union. They were her great nemesis, and so that the politics of that was involved in this issue as well. But it was people in Europe were in Sweden and Norway and so on were saying, oh, the pollution from the British coal plants is drifting downwind and killing off our lakes and our forests. Now, in Canada, and I was summoned to Ottawa to speak on this acid rain issue. There was the claim that the acid rain was destroying the maple trees and the maple syrup industry in Quebec, and that the source of this acid rain were the coal-burning plants across the American Midwest. And it's a fascinating story because once you get past the panic and say, okay, let's calm down. And that's always the first thing we need to do with these issues, is to calm down and let's go and get some data and let's examine what's really going on. Is the reduction in the maple syrup yields due to the acid rain or not? Are there other explanations? And it's a fascinating story, Eric, in that here was the Canadian Prime Minister out saying, oh, yeah, the acid rain is killing the trees in Quebec and so on, and it's the Americans that are causing it and so on. Well, at that time, I was chairing a committee on climate fluctuation through the National Museum of Canada. And one of the members of it, who was a government employee, wanted to speak with me about the acid rain issue. And so I said, well, let's go and have coffee. He said, no, I won't talk to you here. We've got to get somewhere where we can't be overheard. And I said, come on, this is just acid rain. What's going on here? And, of course, that was my first realization of how nasty the politics in these things can get for government employees. But he'd been asked to look at or prove that the American acid rain was killing the maple trees. And he'd done 2 years of research and found that it had nothing to do with the acid rain at all. That, in fact, what had happened was there was the climate patterns that shifted. One was that they were getting very warm early spring events that were then followed by very hard frosts. And the trees had started to bud, and then the frost came along and caused a dieback. Now, what happens with plant growth?
On a break here.
Yep.
So,
happens with plant growth is that they're affected, and they do everything to get to the seed level. So we'll pick up this topic at that point.
Looking for good great time. Talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The HARP controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed HARP can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, HARP can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what HARP is because it's already being used on you. Angels Don't Play This HARP is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with Oracle Broadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Molly be damned, smoked Jimmy the harp with a horrid little pistol and a lariat. She's gone to the bottom and she's going down the drain. Said she wasn't big enough to carry it. She said, get behind a mule in the morning and plow.
You're listening to Truth Quest, Melody. And again, it looks like we're going to have a caller on the line here, but our guest is Dr. Tim Ball. And my co-host is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. So I'll go ahead and bring the caller up here. Wayne, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm just listening. I can't talk right now.
Okay.
The call on mine wasn't working too well.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll just go ahead and put you on mute then.
I'll come back.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Ball, Eric, you can continue on where we were.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the acid rain issue and the causes of the decline in the maple sugar industry, and I had been asked to speak with a government employee who had been researching it for 2 years, and what he discovered was that the acid rain was not a factor at all. But the two causes was one early warm period followed by a hard frost. And the point I was making was that plants all go through a life cycle. There are conditions that can prevent them going through that. But what they do is they do everything to get to the seed stage, to produce seed. Now, research done, for example, on cloud seeding in the Colorado and depth of snowfall and so on, and delaying the growth cycle. The catch-up factor, as it's called, is that plants can catch up as much as 6 weeks or more on their regular cycle of growth, and they will do. They will reduce the growth factor as long as they can produce some seeds at the end, and they do it by reducing, for example, the number of leaves that they will grow. So, if there's a dieback, as it's called, that removes or interferes with the budding stage, then it will bud again, but there will be fewer leaves, and therefore, if you've got fewer leaves, you're going to have less sap flowing, and therefore, that will affect the yield of the maple syrup tree. And so this is one of the factors that he found was a cause, an explanation. The other thing was that they were having drought. And drought, of course, affects the tree in the same way. And what his problem, of course, was that here he had a prime minister that was out there pointing the finger at the Americans, and he'd been asked to prove that that was the case, and he couldn't prove it. In fact, he found that it wasn't the case at all. And he was afraid for his job. And of course, this is a problem that we've got in bureaucracies. When you have people doing research in government, they're almost guaranteed to become political. And it's a major factor in the whole climate change issue. With governments doing the research on it, they're going to try and prove the thesis rather than disprove it, which is the scientific method. My response to him, of course, was to say, look, you're not being paid to make that decision. You've been asked to produce a report. You must maintain your integrity as a scientist. You submit your report to your boss, and your boss will pass it up the line until somebody at some level will say, this is political dynamite, deadly, and put it on a shelf, and it'll never see the light of day again. And that's precisely what happened, except that in that particular case, a later government, through the International Joint Commission, which is an agreement, a transboundary agreement between Canada and the U.S., they set up six scientists, three from America and three from Canada. They looked at the same thing and came to the same conclusion that this government researcher had discovered some 4 years earlier. And, of course, that's part of why the acid rain issue essentially went away. And go ahead, Eric.
Well, if I could just make a couple observations, because I taught human ecology at California State University Stanislaus also in the 90s, using textbooks like Environmental Science by Niebuhr, which is basically kind of a biological treatment of environmental issues, and then another book by Raven and Berg called Environment. And in all the textbooks, you're presented with a kind of a story of the acid rain issue. You know, normal rain, like you say, is slightly acidified by carbonic acid, has a pH of 5.6, and then downwind of industrial areas where you have sulfur and nitrogen oxides added, then you have sulfuric and nitric acid, and then your pH goes down to 4 or 3, and you have depth of lakes, aquatic and stuff. So there's a whole kind of ecological story that goes with. And then the political side of it is that Bush Sr. Introduced market solutions, which I think was the precursor to the cap and trade, which said that we're going to give pollution credits to industry, and then they are allowed to pollute up to a certain level, and if they actually exceed that level, then they can buy credits from some other industry that didn't bring it up to that level. So this then gave us then kind of the first prototype of the cap and trade schemes that were supposed to be enacted as a result of man-caused global warming, and that would, of course, have resulted in the loss of billions and perhaps trillions of dollars in America for a useless waste of money, actually, because there's no way humans can change the climate by changing our activities in burning fossil fuels.
Yeah,
it's observations.
Yeah, no, that's very valid, and of course it is part of the whole environmental movement that an issue is raised, and rather than and say, no, let's go and get all of the data on this, and let's really make sure that we understand this. It immediately gets into the political arena, and the people are scared to the point where the politicians are forced to listen to them. And so you get knee-jerk reactions rather than calm, reasonable leadership. And of course, what happens is if a politician doesn't respond, then, as I said earlier, you don't care about the environment, you don't care about the future and the children and all the rest of it. And these are very, very difficult things for a politician to withstand. And of course, the politicians then sometimes, as they did for a lot with the climate issue, they do what I call putting on the cloak of green. That they underneath they're really not doing very much, but on the outside they're saying all the right things. And the acid rain, as you said, was a forerunner to this. But it's also, Eric, talks to the whole concept of governments and taxations and using taxes to control behavior. And of course, the irony of the income tax being brought in to pay for the war as a temporary measure. And of course, as we see with all government measures, they rarely are temporary. They get a life of their own. And we've seen that a lot with the environmental issues. But the acid rain, yes, was a precursor to what's been going on. But the other one, the other big one that we mentioned earlier, of course, was the ozone issue. When they had been monitoring the ozone levels over Antarctica for some time, but they set their satellites, the sensitivity of the satellites, at a very crude level. And then when some British Antarctic scientists started measuring ozone levels from the surface up, and discovered this, what became known as the Antarctic ozone hole, which is, again, another misnomer. And then immediately this was picked up on as, there's got to be a human cause. This is not natural. It was interesting because one of the British scientists at the time, and I remember this so distinctly, he came out and said, look, let's not rush to judgment on this. We really don't know whether this is a normal event or where this is in natural sequence of things. But, of course, already it had been grabbed onto by the extremists. And one of the things that happened, I mentioned the earlier satellite information, they went back and changed the sensitivity and found that so-called ozone hole was there prior to this discovery by the British expedition, and therefore it seemed to indicate that it was a natural phenomenon. Now, when I say that it's there's no hole over the Antarctic, it's actually a thinning of the Antarctic, or the ozone layer, which, by the way, is amazingly deep. It goes from about 15 kilometers to 40 kilometers above the surface. And what wasn't reported when the scare was going on was the ozone levels were varying at different rates at different altitudes. But it became suddenly a big issue. And then all of a sudden, Molina and Sherwood did some experiments in California in the lab, and where they put ozone into a chamber, and then they put in the CFCs, and of course it destroyed the ozone.
Dr. Bob,
and that's it. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to also bring up before we go on to break here is the fact that it appears that just about any time there's an issue that comes up, we need to start looking for who stands to gain and where the money is coming from.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And not only the money.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the the best prices. Your gold is at your door, quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny-smashing, cutting-edge talk radio.
And you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody. Number is 866-841-1065. Got Dr. Tim Ball with my co-host Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and we're getting around some of the global warming issues. But they're a little bit different aspects of it, like the acid rain and ozone layers. But they all tie in, I'm sure. So go ahead, Dr. Ball.
Well, thank you, Melody. Yes, they do tie together because, of course, the discovery of the so-called ozone hole was really a forerunner to the much larger global warming issue, and it was a classic example of something perfectly natural being discovered. And because we're into this extreme environmentalism where you've got to find a human cause of every single change and blame humans for this so-called destroying the planet, which is the role of the extreme environmentalists, who, by the way, have with some of them, there's a very deep-seated anti-humanity. And, of course, typically that the lovely satirists of the world who are marvelous people came out with that bumper sticker that said, save the planet, kill yourself. But with the ozone is created, as I said, it's a layer of 50 to 40 kilometers, and it was varying in some areas of the level. It was increasing, some it was decreasing, but very little of that got into the mainstream media. But ozone is created by ultraviolet radiation, and it's a process called photodisassociation. That when ultraviolet strikes an oxygen in the atmosphere of an oxygen molecule, which is O2, it splits it into an individual oxygen molecule, O, and those then quite rapidly get together in threes, which is O3, which is then the ozone. So the ozone is actually created by the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Now, the problem is that all of the early material, and Eric knows this very well, in science, the actual theory or hypothesis, you don't attack that. It's only as valid as the assumptions. Well, one of the assumptions was that the ultraviolet radiation is part of sunlight, and sunlight is constant. And yet, that is anything but correct. But at the time, and all the literature, in fact, still much of it today still says this. But we now know that ultraviolet radiation varies by about 200%. But, of course, the problem is, and it suited the political purpose of this issue, that if you assume the UV is constant, and then you're measuring variations in the ozone, then you are allowed to be able to say, well, then it must be caused by something that's coming from below, and therefore we've got to seek a human cause of it. And as I said, at this point, the scientist, Melina Sherwood, doing these experiments in the lab where they showed that, and actually it was the chlorine that was the active part of the CFC, of the chlorofluorocarbon, that was destroying the ozone. But the difficulty is, I mean, there was immediately some problems because, you point out to people, well, CFCs or chlorofluorocarbons are four times the density of air. And the question is then, how are they getting to 15 kilometers above the surface of the Earth? What's carrying them up there? And the only place that they could possibly be carried up is at the equator, because over the polar regions in the Antarctic, the height of the tropopause is only about 8 to 9 kilometers above the surface, and then the ozone layer doesn't start till about 15 kilometers. So there's this huge gap between the atmosphere and the ozone layer. But those issues simply got brushed aside because now they said, oh yes, it's CFCs, and this is the cause of the problem. And so they moved into banning CFCs. And it really got draconian. I know in the province of Canada I was living at the time, they appointed an ozone czar. He called himself that, bragged about that. He had the power to go in and shut down a farm, have a farmer sent to jail for 20 years and fined $200,000 just on his say-so. And so, and we've seen, we're going to see similar things, unless it's stopped, with the EPA and the authorities they have that were given to them once the Supreme Court ruled that CO2 was a toxic substance. So you see these reactions.
Was there a
go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Ball, was there a tie-in at all with the replacement for the CFCs that came in, and any monetary reason for that to have come forth, or are you aware of such a
thing? Yeah, no, that's very much to the issue, as you mentioned earlier. You know, and our old friend Limbaugh says, "Follow the money." CFCs were brought in as a replacement for ammonia refrigerant and refrigeration, and they were promoted by I believe it was Dow Chemical. Eric, you could correct me on that. It was brought in as a completely neutral and benign refrigerant to replace ammonia. And so it was marketed as a product that wouldn't do any harm to the environment at all. And so there was a lot of money to be made on that. Then, and this came up at when I appeared before the Canadian Parliamentary Committee on the ozone issue, because And that was a perfect cross-section of what's wrong with so many of these environmental issues. There were three scientists who were allowed to present, and I counted between the three of us that we had about 150 years, effectively, total of studying these issues. But prior to us, there were seven presentations from the Friends of the Earth. And I talked to all of them. Not one of them had even an hour of university education on environmental issues. And then the other one that was interesting was that the chemical company was sitting there, and they didn't say anything. And I sit there and say, well, I talked to these people. I knew that they knew the science was problematic. And they go, well, why aren't you defending your product and defending your position? But, of course, I discovered that the reason was that they were the only company that were capable of producing a replacement. Therefore, they made their money off the CFCs. They could get a good PR move by coming in with a replacement and make a whole lot more money out of it as well. And of course, the ironic thing is they came in with what were then at that time HCFCs, and it's now turning out that they're more problematic than the CFCs that they had, because the H is the water portion of it. And, of course, water vapor as a gas is an incredibly important part of the whole greenhouse effect and everything else that is being ignored. So the CFC issue then was established. It's very interesting to note, and I'm just simply going to present the facts here, but there was the only evidence of CFCs being in existence in the stratosphere and in the ozone layer was a single study that didn't actually measure in situ, but reproduced in computer form, as I understand it, that there were CFCs in the ozone layer. And that study was done by Dr. Susan Solomon. Dr. Susan Solomon went on to become the chief editor of the technical reports of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change on Global Warming. So she had cut her teeth on these environmental issues through the ozone layer issue.
I could just jump in here, Dr. Ball, you've raised a lot of interesting points. And again, I taught human ecology, environmental issues at a university all through the 90s, using not only the textbooks that were available and up to date, but also a video series called Race to Save the Planet, which was put together by a number of corporations, introduced by Marie Strong, by the way. And then each and every program, there were 10 one-hour shows, each and every program is narrated by Roy Scheider and introduced by Meryl Streep. So you have all this kind of star quality there. And they make the case that, the greatest single environmental threat is, of course, the changes in climate and the hole in the ozone. And so the scenario is, in the text, in the videos, that the stratospheric ozone layer, which is a layer in which you have these ozone molecules, absorbs 99% of the incoming ultraviolet radiation.
Okay, we're on.
And the ultraviolet radiation.
3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With Point pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Caller coming up here, Brian in Arizona, and we've got Dr. Carlstrom and Dr. Ball, and we're getting into a lot of varying aspects of this global warming, and we have a new issue we're going to bring up here in a moment, but Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So I just got online. You're on the subject of global warming?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think more important than that is we know it's all a big sham. It's amazing. It took testicular warming to get a TSA to get the people of America to finally stand up on some of this garbage because they've been laying down for way too many years. And I wish some of them would go in there with guns and just blow the heads off these perverts at TSA. I'm about sick of it. Global warming, global stealing of my IRA and 401k and all the equity in my house, and this stuff makes me want to puke. When will the American people stand up and rise up with guns and blow the heads off of people like Al the Jerk Gore and Michael Jerkoff, Chertoff, and all these other idiots? And why do they continue to put up with this nonsense? It's all garbage. I'll call it what it is. It's garbage. Global warming is not real. It's a fraud. Why do we need to continue to talk about a fraud? There's nothing but frauds in this country. There's nothing true anymore. It's all fraud. Fraud. Why do we need to talk about global warming? It is a fraud. It's horseshit. It's bullshit.
Okay,
and it's not fucking real.
Melody, if we could continue.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and...
I can see the emotional pitch of the caller is genuine, would appear, and he certainly has some points. But I'd like to continue with kind of the historical connection between these, three frauds. First, we have the acid rain fraud, which was taught in the textbooks, taught in the universities. Then we have the ozone hole. And as I say in the movie, only one atmosphere, part of the race to save the planet. This starts to look very scary. So it's a fear technique, it's being taught at universities. It's all over the press, all over Time magazine. And if you get your information from mainline sources, you think the sky's falling and we're all threatened. And of course, the solution then that was proposed by Margaret Thatcher again. In the movie, Only One Atmosphere, there's a footage of Margaret Thatcher at the Montreal Protocol saying, kind of global problems require global solutions. We have to pass this law to phase out CFCs. And this is a benchmark because now the nations of the world have cooperated to address an environmental problem. And so the point that I think I'm making, it dovetails a little bit with our caller's point, that these three, we can call them frauds, acid rain, ozone hole, and global warming, are attempts to manipulate the public through fear toward a desirable political and economic solution on the part of the governments of the world, particularly the UK in this case, but others as well. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, I was talking when I appeared before that committee on ozone, the parliamentarians. I didn't want to go because I knew they are not listening. When you appear before these committees, and I've appeared in Washington and other places, they simply want to use you to make their own political brownie points.
Okay, we're on.
So
we're coming up here to break here, and we'll carry over on the next side, on the other side.
Okay, it'll be your turn, Tim, and maybe
Don't
you
Don't Play
can...
This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The HARP controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed HARP can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, HARP can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what HARP is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This HARP is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the Internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Okay, you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody, and again, we've got brought back the second hour with Dr. Carlstrom and Dr. Tim Ball, and we were going to pick up where you left off. I believe that was Dr. Ball.
Yes, I was talking about appearing before the Canadian Parliamentary Committee, and as I said, I've appeared before in Washington and so on. And for the most part, the politicians simply want to use the expert to pick out the bits that they think will help their political career. They're really not interested in the larger issue at all. And so it dawned on me one of the, there were three scientists that were in the group, as I mentioned earlier, and one of them was showing graphs of ozone levels over Toronto. And he said, here's the lowest level of ozone in 1990. And I'm sitting there saying, they had no measurements of ozone over Toronto in 1991. And what he was doing was presenting a computer model recreation of what these things were. And it dawned on me that none of the politicians realized this. And I did something that I hope I never have to do again, where I said, I don't mean to interrupt a fellow scientist, but I hope you realize that this is not real data that you're being shown. This is simulated from a computer model. There are no measures. And, of course, none of them realized that. I then let him get on with his presentation. When it came to my turn, I simply threw out what I was going to say, and this is critical to what we're discussing here, Eric and Melody, because I realized that the politicians and the public don't understand the scientific method. That science works by creating hypotheses. They say, well, if. Well, the if-ifs are the assumptions, so they say, well, this may happen. So the global warming theory was, CO2 is a greenhouse gas, that's one assumption. If it increases in the atmosphere, the temperature will go up, that's the second assumption. And the third assumption was it will continue to increase because human industry and activities are increasing, and that will result in global warming. That was the hypothesis. Well, scientists attack the assumptions. And so what I did was I got up and I said, look, I as a scientist can create all kinds of hypotheses based on scientific facts. And I can do that all day and all week and all month if you want. And I deliberately did one. I said, look, the speed of the Earth is slowing down. The magnetic field is weakening. It's been weakening for 1,000 years. And if it continues to weaken at the current rate, there'll be no magnetic field in 120 years from now. And we know from the geologic past that when there's no magnetic field to protect us from the harmful rays of the sun and space, there's massive extinction on the planet Earth. And I want to know what my government's planning to do about this. Well, of course, there was outrage amongst the politicians. They said, no, we're here to talk about ozone. And I said, no. I said, I'm trying to explain to you that the ozone issue is a hypothetical issue. It is not a real issue. And until you can prove or show what the strength of that scientific hypothesis, then what you're planning to do and what you're even talking about here is meaningless. It's out of context. And of course, unfortunately, most of this went over most of their political heads because they didn't want to hear this. This was an issue they thought they could make political points on. One of the MPs, a fellow from Brandon, who had a biology degree, realized what I was trying to say. And he said, well, what do you propose that we do? And I said, well, apart from anything else, be calm. And then I realized there was no point going any further, and I became flippant, unfortunately. And I said, well, we should all go to the equator and run fast in one direction to speed up the rotation of the Earth. But this is the problem with today's environmental world, that scientists can come up with all of these hairy, scary things. And of course, the challenge for the public is, well, what's true and what isn't? What's serious and what isn't? And we can't deal with everything. And where does the funding go? And of course, that's become a huge part of the battle.
Yeah, and the co-option of the entire scientific community by these federal bureaucracies. But I wanted to just interject. You mentioned Susan Solomon. About a year ago, I was driving home from work, listening to public radio, and I think within a very short drive, twice the National Public Radio program I was listening to, the news, said, environmental scientist Susan Solomon, you know, says that the global warming is going to be much worse than we thought, blah, 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 blah. And this was within, just the space of about 10 or 15 minutes. I mentioned to my students that all these predictions are coming out of computer models. They have no basis in reality. So what we've got now is science driven by virtual reality. We've got at least 24 very sophisticated computer models, which are, again, paid for by all this government research money. And they all have the same assumptions, which have been proven wrong. The assumptions including that CO2 is a main driver of climate change, that without human activity, there would be no natural climate change. I mean, that's absolutely patently absurd. We know so much about the natural climate variability now. For our climate modelers to assume no natural climate variability invalidates all of their results. So garbage in, garbage out is the actual computer model. And so, unfortunately, the entire world has been pulled into this virtual reality, which can easily be disproven. And yet the public radio announcers that tell us time and time again, we get this daily propaganda, a lot of it coming out of Britain, out of the BBC. And again, Margaret Thatcher playing a dominant role in each of these three issues. So there seems to be a real push from Britain especially to snooker everybody into these global problems require global solutions, which actually was said by Gordon Brown, the former Prime Minister of England. So they seem to really want to have a United Nations oversight of all industrial activity, and it seemed to really kind of play into this one world government idea. Talking about motivations, it would seem that that's a very big one.
Yes, but and of course, if we go back to the ozone issue where they tried to get the whole world involved through the Montreal Protocol, and what was interesting was that as I mentioned, the creation of CFCs as a refrigerant, and also, by the way, the use of pesticides and herbicides and so on, allowed the Western world to reduce its food loss down to about 30%. What people don't realize is the problem is not that we don't produce enough food. There's two problems. One is distribution of it, and the other is the ability to store it. And, of course, the CFCs and the refrigeration was a huge advance in that ability. And as it is now in the Western world, Canada, U.S., and so on, about 30% of all the food we produce never makes it to the table. In the developing world, India and China and so on, it's about 60%. And if we could reduce that significantly, then we could really make some achievements. But, of course, that's why India and China refused to sign the Montreal Protocol.
Well, I think that there's a real good case to be made for the fact that one of the main agendas behind global warming or that false issue is depopulation. So I guess we can
consider that. Okay, now we're going to get on break.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
Dr. Tim,
hey, this is True. This is we're live, and this is Truth Quest with Melody, and we've got Dr. Carlstrom and Tim Ball, and I'm not sure which one was going to speak next here, because I...
Well, let me just say, just follow up with what I was saying, and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Ball. I did mention just before the break that I think very easy to make a case that depopulation is on the agenda of the world power elite that are playing us through these various frauds, as our caller mentioned. And so I'd like to just turn it over to Ball to wrap it, Dr. Ball to wrap it up where he was going to take it.
Yeah, well, of course, the population issue with Paul Ehrlich and I mentioned John Holdren, who's Obama's science czar. He published with Paul Ehrlich, and the population time bomb, of course, was at the very heart of the Club of Rome, and their publication, Limits to Growth, was the argument, sort of the neo-Malthusian argument, that the population is outgrowing the resources. Now, Malthus did it on the basis of food supply, but the Club of Rome expanded that to all resources, and their argument was not only that the population's increasing beyond the capacity, but the amount of resources each individual was growing beyond the capacity. And that's been the theme of this whole thing, and it got into some very nasty areas, eugenics and population control and so on. So, yeah, that really is underlying all of this. But I was talking, and that, by the way, goes to the ozone issue, because the world produces about enough food to feed about 26 billion people, but the problem is distribution of that food, good marketing, and of course the whole opening up of world trade was starting to deal with that, but then people are opposed to the globalization of that, but it is certainly a factor. The other is, of course, the refrigeration. And what happened at the Montreal Protocol was that India and China said, look, you created this product, CFCs, and you've reduced your food loss using it. Now you're telling us that we can't use it. And this fits into that whole category of what Paul Dreesen, in his wonderful book, Eco-Imperialism, where we impose our ecological and green views on the developing world. And so with the Montreal Protocol, even though they were part of the whole process, India and China said, we're not going to cut back. And in fact, I recall in part of the discussions I was in, there was a proposal by them. They said, look, why don't you reduce your level and we can increase ours? And we just came back and said, no, we've got to get rid of it altogether. And so it was a forerunner to the CO2 issue, which, of course, as we know, India and China are not participating in. And one of the things that was interesting was I talked earlier about taking the moral high ground on environmental issues that only we care. Well, the Indian government, and I've worked with Indian climatologists like Madhav Kandikar and Tad Murtry and so on, and they're very, very knowledgeable people. And I've also, by the way, worked with Chinese climatologists where we were looking at increasing their food productivity in the cold regions, just as Canada's been able to do, and they're very knowledgeable as well. And what the Indian government said over the Kyoto thing was, look, we've got people starving to death. We're going to deal with that issue before we start worrying about a possible 1 degree Celsius increase in the next 100 years on very, very bad science. So the moral issue was trumped to some extent by that argument. But nonetheless, the whole carbon and global warming issue continues to have momentum. I mean, you watch ads. I was watching one where some guy comes on and says, you know, my professor said you want to save the planet. It's in some oil company. And all of this funding, and particularly into alternative energies, and then the biofuels, and that's a good example, by the way, when you look at the cost of food going up, because about one-third of the U.S. corn crop is going to biofuels now. And corn is not a good crop to convert to biofuels, but it's all driven by this government policies and government funding directing things in completely the wrong direction. And, of course, corporations and people will simply go, and if there's a chance to make money, they'll make it. And that's the bottom line of it. So the whole global warming issue in terms of the science, the public are starting to see through the scam, as Brian very vociferously pointed out, but as we pointed out at the beginning of the program, the public are starting to get it. And I've always been a great fan. My philosopher of record is Popeye. And when Popeye said, I don't know how she does it, but she does it, it's exactly where a lot of the public are on these issues. And, of course, as it's starting to hit them in the pocketbook. So what's happening is the actual global temperature issue is losing momentum. Now, one of the things, Eric, you and I have talked about before, and it's worth bringing back again, the focus on temperature as the most important issue in weather and climate is a very narrow focus, made even more narrow by only looking at warming. And when you look at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate reports, they do the science report where they say CO2 is the cause, and the temperature's definitely going to go up. That's only 600 of the people involved. The other 1,900 in working groups 2 and 3 are looking at the impact of that warming. And they're saying, oh, it's going to cause this problem and that problem. So when you talk to the public, all of them think, oh, no, global warming's totally negative. But in fact, there are a lot of positive benefits to warming. You say, you know, people don't know that. They don't understand that. And so the bias, but there's an even bigger bias in the whole IPCC thing, and that is with regard to precipitation and with regard to water and water vapor. And one of the things that I learned very early in my career of studying and teaching climate was that the single most devastating impact on flora and fauna, and therefore on humans, are droughts. And in fact, in the year 2000, when they asked 200 of the world's top climate people, meteorologists and so on, to list the top 20 climate disasters of the 20th century, and I don't know if you can have numerical alliteration, but there you've got it. But when they listed the top 20, 11 of the top 20 were droughts. And four beyond that, so 15 out of the 24, were flooding. So the precipitation issue, the water issue, is completely ignored. Now, part of the reason, of course, is they don't want to acknowledge that water vapor is 95% of the greenhouse gases by volume, because, of course, that distracts from their focus on CO2. And so then they come out in the IPCC reports, and the public, you hear this, say, oh, there's going to be more droughts. Well, that's counterintuitive scientifically, because if the temperature goes up, there's an increase in evaporation, more moisture in the atmosphere, and therefore the potential for more droughts, and for more rainfall, not more droughts. And I've studied droughts for over 40 years, the droughts across the Great Plains, and the pattern of them through tree ring data and so on. And by the way, there's another example of how the distorted science, the very bad science, because one of the things that was used to prove that it was warmer today than it's ever been was the hockey stick. And the hockey stick, they have this problem that it was warmer 1,000 years ago than today, so they literally rewrote the history. They took tree ring data and selected tree rings that eliminated the warm period 1,000 years ago to show that it was warmer today. And of course, the fundamental error in all of that is to assume that the tree ring growth is reflecting temperature. But you look at any of the biological research on plant growth, precipitation and moisture availability is a much, much more important factor. Now, just to illustrate that idea and where it becomes a commercial factor.
20 seconds.
We were looking at irrigating on the farms and how it affects the plant growth. And so when you look at that, you see that moisture is much more important for plant growth.
We'll come up on the other side here.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The HARP controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed HARP can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, HARP can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what HARP is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This HARP is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
And we're talking with Dr. Kim Ball and Dr. Eric Carlstrom. And it doesn't matter what direction you go, they seem to have tied up just about every issue. Coming back to global warming, or actually even global cooling, and then we're getting into the water issues that what a prior caller talked about as very frustrating. Well, you know, we got to get the public aware to the fact that, you know, we're being socially engineered, and they're not going to let go of these subjects. So they want it in the public arena to get us to adapt to the next level that's coming. Am I saying that correctly, Dr. Ball?
Absolutely. It's using the science and lack of knowledge of the science for social engineering. And that's what the Club of Rome was all about. Their Limits to Growth book and so on was that we can control. And, of course, Morris Strong, very, very big advocate of this. And the water issue, of course, as throughout human history, has been one that controls and dictates societies. And it's amusing because it's a bit like the Ancient Mariner, you know, Samuel Taylor Coleridge's poem about water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. And there's no shortage of water on the planet. It's just a matter of the distribution and the ability to have people live where it's available. One of the problems that's happened in the U.S. is the great migration from the northeast to the southwest, to the sunspots and so on. But, of course, as you go west in the U.S., you cross a line that essentially runs down the middle of the continent, which is technically called the 20-inch isohyet. Now, an isohyet, like an isobar, isobar joins lines of points of equal barometric pressure, and isohyet joins lines of equal precipitation. So right down the middle of the continent is a 20-inch isohyet. So the eastern part of the U.S. has got is in a positive water regime. That is that you've got more than you're using every year. And by using, I mean not just humans, but natural evaporation and plants through transpiration. But in the west, you're essentially in a deficit region, that there's less water coming in than goes out. And of course, one of the things that I joked about is when Horace Greeley said, "Go west, young man," and they're looking for the land of milk and honey, and they got to California, and they've set about bringing in water supply and controlling the water supply. And I understand, and Eric can maybe correct me on this, but I understand there have been moves over time of Northern California to separate from Southern California to get re-control of their water. And so this idea, and I was talking before the break, Melody, about the growth of plants relating to the moisture and why the tree ring data was so incorrectly used, we were dealing with irrigators that were producing potatoes, and the potatoes were being used for McDonald's for their French fries. And the argument was made that McDonald's were dictating and controlling, and therefore they were forcing the farmers to use irrigation. Well, the reality is McDonald's weren't doing that at all. But McDonald's were saying to the potato, the French fry producer, which at that time was Nestle's, we want a French fry of a certain dimension and moisture content and length. And so the potato had to be produced that could produce that typical McDonald's French fry. And the only way that you could achieve that was by irrigating the potato. Because when there's a dry spell, the potato, which grows from one end to the other, restricts its growth. And if you're going to get a potato that's uniform and even in its dimensions and length, then you have to have a steady supply of water. So that's just one illustration of how the water issue is so critical to plant growth and the tree ring data and so on. But
Dr. Ball, yeah. That kind of what you're stating right there with them wanting certain water content and the like, doesn't that kind of tie in a little bit with that virtual water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the virtual water idea, of course, and you see this. It's what I call in this new paradigm of environmentalism. It's the how many angels on the head of the pin equivalent. You know, the religious debates back in the Middle Ages. Did Jesus have a purse and things like that? Well, these kinds of arguments, like virtual water, are the same thing. And where they come out with a table showing that, you know, every hamburger takes so many gallons of water to produce, and it's just totally artificial. It's totally meaningless. And we saw this back in the 80s. The same thing was going on. A ton of steel, it takes this much water to produce. And of course, one of the errors of it is that it's assumed that because the water is used up in a particular process, that it's lost. It isn't. Eric will know, one of the things you learn in geography is something called the hydrologic cycle or the water cycle. And this is the movement of water through the Earth's system. And again, it's why water is so important to the whole climate issue. We've already talked about evaporation and water content, water vapor as a greenhouse gas. But the idea that you use water in producing something, but ultimately that water goes back into the system. And we've got virtually no measures of that. It's the same problem as we have with the climate issue. They're making all of these statements and assumptions, but the amount of data is virtually non-existent. Now, just to start with surface water, for example, I mean, most of the rivers of Canada, Russia, the vast river systems, there's no data, there's no flow charts, there's no amount of what are the volumes, how does it vary, even inputs and outputs of the Great Lakes systems is just pure estimates that are grossly in error. And then when you start to look at the amount of water that's underground, now, in the province of British Columbia, where I live, and we've got hydroelectric power, and people are saying, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. This province has no legislation for groundwater. Who owns it? Who controls it? What are the legislations on it? None whatsoever. And one of the ways that you see this linking in with the global warming issue is that this proposal to take CO2 and inject it into the ground. Well, first of all, the CO2 isn't a problem, so why are you trying to get rid of it? The second is that what happens to that CO2 when it goes into the ground? Well, it's going to be absorbed by the water. It'll make the water more acidic. How does that interact with the other chemicals underground? We've got no knowledge of any of this. In fact, they're doing all of this carbon sequestration, as it's called, and they only started the experiments in a big project in Australia about a year and a half ago to look at the potential impact of this. Now, why did it get promoted? Oh, well, carbon's the problem. We've got to get rid of the surplus CO2. And then who comes along to offer to do this? The oil companies. In Alberta, they're signing contracts with the government. Say, oh, we'll get rid of the CO2 for you. We'll pump it into the ground. And what they're not telling the public is that when you pump oil, you get one barrel in four out of the ground, even pumping. But if you push down saline water, as has been practiced for the last 60 years, or you pump CO2 into the ground, it pushes more oil out, and you can increase your recovery to three barrels in four. So what a clever move. And I don't blame the oil companies for this. They're saying, well, give us the CO2, and the taxpayers will pay for its collection and delivery, and we'll pump it into the ground to get rid of it for you. Oh, by the way, it's going to increase our yields and increase our profit, but don't worry about that. And so, again, it's this whole lack of understanding and lack of data, and it's just an incredible mess. And so the virtual water tables are a good example of that. And saying that it takes this much water to produce this much product doesn't prove anything. And as I said, it goes into this idea that that somehow that water is lost forever. So they're simply moving it.
So are you saying then that they've spent all their time on these computer models and that they're not really out there doing the real data?
Nope. Well, worse than that, Melody, and Eric talked about the computer models earlier. What they're now doing is that they're taking the output of one model and using it as real data input to another model. Well, in fact, it isn't real data at all. And we had an example of that with the guy that's part of the Climate Gate, Ben Santer. And they came out and they measured the temperature of the ocean. and with actual satellite and the buoys that they've got out there, and they said, well, here's the water, the temperature. In reality, Sanger came out and said, oh, no, it must be wrong because it doesn't agree with my computer output. I mean, it's to that degree of insanity.
Okay,
and, of course...
20 seconds again.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, my own history, I watched the hijacking of climate science for the political use of it, but also by the computer modelers. And it got to the point where you couldn't go to a climate conference where the keynote speaker wasn't a computer modeler, and they would...
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the Internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Lord, it's one kind favor I'd ask to you.
Now we're coming into the last segment of the program, and Dr. Ball have done a great job covering a wide array of subjects that are related.
Yep.
And we could do a seminar on this, but since we only have 2 hours, we're going to go ahead and finish up this last segment and bring it into focus as to how important this issue and its and where it's going to go. Go ahead, Dr. Ball.
Yes, well, I guess we could start by saying that I attended a conference in Milwaukee in 1991, and it was billionaires there. And you say, well, how could an academic who didn't get any money from the oil companies afford to go? And the answer was that a former student of mine was managing a mutual fund that had $2 billion in funding, and he got invited because they were looking for people to invest in water projects, and he said, well, why don't you go in my place? And, of course, what was going on was that who was at the table but Coca-Cola and Snapple and all of these big corporations. And, of course, Coca-Cola at that time was getting into the bottled water industry. And so what they were doing was buying up water rights and so on. And I saw the early commercialization of water. And it gave me an insight into what was happening with the North American Free Trade Agreement, which we already had 80% free trade between Canada and the U.S. at least. In fact, ironically, there was more free trade between Canada and the U.S. than there was between the Canadian provinces. But as I watched that go through, I realized that it was all about water, because the 20% of lack of free trade was on the water issue. Now, people say, well, NAFTA doesn't mention water very much. And my experience is that when politicians don't talk about something, that's what you got to watch. But all of the components in the NAFTA agreement set up for the shifting of water. Now, Canada, and this is another example of what we talked about earlier of lack of knowledge or information, but it's estimated that Canada has somewhere between 25 and 30% of all the world's fresh water. Now, that's in terms of surface water with lakes, and, of course, because of the glaciation, Canada is simply covered with lakes. You look at the string of lakes from the Great Lakes right around and up to Lake Athabasca, Great Bear Lakes, and so on. And of course, that looked like a great resource of water, but the thing was how to tie it in. Now, the idea of a continental theory on water and then a global theory on water goes back a long way. Thomas Jefferson, who sent out the Lewis and Clark expedition to look at the continentalism and the idea of using the Columbia River to get to the West Coast. It's all tied in with that original idea. The Hudson Bay Company, it was designed to control all the lands around Hudson Bay and all the waters that flowed into the Arctic Ocean. So the 49th parallel between Canada and the U.S. is very much a function of the divisions of water in North America. And so the NAFTA was designed to tie the commitment of water as a transborder commodity. And that's the key word, that the free trade agreement says that once something's a commodity, then it has to be traded at an equal price across the border. And to give you some idea, citizens of Winnipeg, Manitoba, pay about $3 for 1,000 gallons of water. And you compare that with the cost of the water in parts of Florida, where some places the bills are up $300 a month. It gives you an idea of the disparities of the supply and the cost. But once it becomes a commodity, then it has to be traded across the border. The other thing is that how do you transfer the water? Well, there's environmental and general public opposal to diversion of rivers, but in the free trade agreement, it includes provision for boat carriers. And boat carriers, of course, are pipelines. And I've already been involved in technical research on the climate effects of piped water, what happens if it freezes and so on, and similar to involvement with piping oil through northern Canada or natural gas. So all of the components for this setting up of a total integrated water policy are there. And there are some very large schemes for diversion of water in North America. The NWAPA, which is the North American Water and Power Alliance, proposed by the Parsons Company in 1952, was to take water from the river in the Yukon flowing into Alaska and divert it south through the Rocky Mountain Trench and then across into the Columbia and into the Snake River, and then down into the Colorado and out to Southern California. And that was pushed by Senator Moss of Utah. All of the components of that, except the actual connection across the Canada-U.S. border, are virtually in place, certainly on the American side. And California is now drawing water from a very, very large area of western United States. In central Canada, there was what's called the Cooper Project, which was designed to divert water from Lake Winnipeg, which is in surface area the 13th largest lake in the world, and take it down through the Red River of the north and into the Missouri-Mississippi system. And then further east, you had what's called the Grand Canal, which is designed to build a dam across James Bay, which is a part of Hudson Bay. The water in James Bay is what's called brackish water. The average salt in seawater is about 34,000 parts per million. James Bay is about 20,000, 25,000. Too salty to be used, but once you build the dam, you pump out that brackish water. It is then refilled with fresh water flowing from the very large rivers flowing into it, like the Albany and the Great Will River and so on. You then divert that down into Lake Huron and out through the Chicago River out to the American Midwest. And so, as I said, these plans of water diversions on a continental scale have been kicking around for a very long time. And of course, the water is by far the most precious resource. I mean, there was a very good documentary made many years ago called Water More Precious Than Oil. And, of course, you can control people much better through controlling the water. And, by the way, just one last little point about the Nawapaski, or not the Nawapaski necessarily, but the NAFTA. Proof of my argument that it was all about water was the chief negotiator for Canada was a guy by the name of Simon Reisman, and he worked for that Grand Canal Company on contract. This is the one that's taking water from James Bay and diverting it south. And he worked for them, and it was on record as saying he could guarantee Americans access to Canadian water through the free trade agreement. And then on the other side of the border, the negotiator at the table was a guy by the name of Paul Morphy. He sadly died of brain tumor as a young man. He was at the table as the spokesperson, but the actual person who was the chief negotiator was the name of Clayton Yoder. And Clayton Yoder had been the agricultural secretary under Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And
We've got about a minute, about 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll just finish up with Yoder's doctoral thesis was on the need for a continental water policy, so I rest my case on the NAWAPA, or NAFTA being all about water.
Okay, I just want to have some closing comments from both of you, like we do. We have about 90 seconds left. So.
Well, I think that as they find that the climate issue is not working out for them, and the corruption at ClimateGate, as Eric so correctly pointed out, the impact of that, and the public not fully understanding but realizing this is another big scam, they're shifting through to biodiversity and ocean acidification, but the real power issue is the water issue. And what we need to start doing with Eric and his programs and what we're doing is to educate the public about the water and its existence. And one last little point about it, by the way, as Eric will know, the textbooks say, oh, the water level of the oceans has been the same for 600 million years. That's absolute rubbish. And every time a volcano erupts, there's new, more water vapor put into the atmosphere. And there is a very well-supported theory that all the water on the planet has come from outer space.
Okay, we got 30 seconds left to close the closing comment. Eric?
Well, I certainly want to thank Dr. Kimball for joining us again. These are the most informative and enjoyable interviews, and very important, I think. And I think we did a great job of pulling together the frauds of climate change over time. And now, as we mentioned, I think our next interview really needs to focus on water because, yeah.
Okay, well, and I want to thank you, gentlemen, because the program is ending.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
While Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, we chose seven of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.